Rolling.
Hi, and welcome to Ian Wallace, the Messed Up Counsellor. Today what I'm going to look at is something that affects all of us, which is about loss. Now, a lot of people look at loss as just somebody passing over, somebody dying. But actually, loss enables everything of change. If we change anything, we have to lose something to get something. So I'm going to look at loss, and I'm going to look at the way that loss affects us and what we might do in order to help us move through that process of change, that loss, and the complexities sometimes of loss if there's been lots of loss. Hopefully that will be interesting to you, and I'll see you on the other side.
Nice one, thank you.
You okay?
Yeah, you did the clap, but I was just going to tell you to do a clap and you already did it. Perfect.
You're a good trainer, Sam.
I do say so myself. just carry on straight into it whenever you're ready.
Okay, Sam. Hi, welcome to Ian Wallace, the Messed Up Counsellor. Grief and loss is probably one of the most difficult things human beings have to cope with for most people. There is a difference between grief and loss where somebody's died, somebody's passed over, and grief and loss where we've changed jobs, we've been made redundant. But they have some similar characteristics. If we're in charge of the loss, if we're in charge of the change, if we've made the choice, then pretty much we don't really get hung up on the emotional consequences that go with that. If that loss has been something that we're not in charge of, so say we've been made redundant, or we've been sacked, or somebody has died, then those things we're not in charge of. And it works differently. When we're going through a process of loss and change, which has been forced on us, if you like, we haven't been in control of it, then it gives us an emotional process that sometimes can lead to all sorts of complications. Grief and loss has a process. It does. And I'm going to talk about the grief and loss whereby we haven't been in control of it. It's been something that we've had to endure. When we go through that process of endings, our emotional response is one that makes us feel uncomfortable, makes us feel angry, makes us feel frustrated, makes us feel depressed, whole range of feelings and emotions we can get from that. But it does have a process. Now, there's lots of loss models, which we call in the counselling therapist world. The one I use, the one I like, is called the We Chi chart. We is W-E-I-C-H-I. You can find it on Google, you can find it anywhere. It's not something I've put together, but it makes sense to me. Because it looks as though the loss is a curved downwards process. So loss always starts with a process of it's not happening. I'm not going to think about it, I'm not going to look at it. And that can be fairly extreme sometimes. You know, we can work with people who have lost their job and they still, to all intents and purposes, from the families, the relationship partners' point of view, go to work. They can get up at the same time, take their sandwiches, go in the car, and they will sit in a cafe, sit on a park bench, go for a walk around a museum until they come home because they are in denial. It hasn't happened. Now, that sounds very strange, but it isn't. It's actually fairly common. How long that denial goes on is different for everybody, obviously. But for some people, it'll just be shock, horror, you know, and it'll be a quick process. But after we get the denial bit, we go into this downward curve and we go through a whole range of extreme emotions. And very quickly, they can change from one to another. They can change within a minute. And there'll be anger, there'll be frustration, there'll be guilt, there'll be shame. There'll be a whole range of feelings and emotions that we go through in order to kind of process that loss, if you like. Dependent on whether or not we seek support or we go through it ourselves, it might make a big difference. If we seek support, either through counsellors or, you know, friends, listening ear, so to speak, then we might be able to see that what we're going through is normal. It is what it is. And a lot of people go through the same process. It's not just us. Most things human beings go through, think they're the only people that's ever experienced it. So we kind of normalize it, and we kind of give them understanding about that normalization. And it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be feelings of guilt and shame. It's okay to have those feelings. The feelings are not okay, obviously, but it's okay to have them. And then we explore those feelings, emotions, and we see where they come from, which might not be about what you're going through now, which again sounds a bit weird. So say, for example, somebody had been made redundant at work and through no fault of their own, then that redundancy, that loss, would make a major impact in the world and life usually. They won't normally move from one job to another in the same day, same week. There might be some financial implications. There might be a whole range of things that they go through. But if in the past they've gone through processes of change and loss similar, or have that element of loss, if we haven't processed that, so say 10 years previously, they'd gone through a similar situation and they hadn't processed that, and somebody had told them they weren't good enough for the job, which is kind of what they do when they make you redundant, tell you you're not good enough or they don't want you anymore. Then if they haven't processed that first one 10 years ago and the next one happens, they get a double or a whammy or a triple whammy effect. And it can really floor them. And sometimes when people have breakdowns, it's the tipping point of the last thing that does the breakdown. But we find there's lots of other losses and changes previous to that that's added to that process. So in order to kind of work that process of change and loss, then we have to understand it, as with all things. We can't know anything unless we understand it. We can't do things differently unless we understand it. So we kind of go into a process of understanding that loss. Then we go into this bottom of the curve, bottom of the arc, if you like, where it tends to be lethargic. It tends to be this depressive process. It tends to be so much emotion that we can't work with anymore. And that's kind of what depression is to some people. It's an overabundance of emotions in different ways that come together like a washing machine, where all the emotions are inside, all the washing, the clothes are inside, and we can't see the trousers for the jumpers, for the socks, for the shirts, the sheets. We can't pull them apart because there's so much going on. And then we get to a point where we will hopefully process it and go forward, and we start looking at possible futures, possible difference, another job maybe, start having interviews. There's a process of moving on, letting go, if you like. And then we come up the other side of the curve and we get into that moving on, that creating more optimism, more hope, more future. Sometimes though, as I said, if we get into that process of working with clients where we're going through the most recent loss, change, we get to the point of moving on sometimes, And then we can go back into the emotions. And it feels like we're in this constant cycle of not getting too far forward of moving on, but getting into the process of starting to move on. And then we go back into all the feelings, emotions, and anger and stuff. And that's sometimes because we've got a previous loss that we haven't processed as human beings effectively, emotionally. So when we're looking at these things with clients, with yourselves, when you look at your own world, if you're looking at redundancy, then it's not you that's the problem. It's never been you that's the problem. Redundancy usually is a financial decision. It's an accountant on a balance sheet. It doesn't have your name, has your number. It's not personal. So if people have been made redundant, it's not a personal process, and it's helpful to be able to see that. It's just, you're too expensive. It's a bottom line. It's a profit and loss balance sheet. If we're going through something where we have been sacked, only us, that will be different, obviously, because there'll be more emotions with it, quite naturally. There'll be anger, I would imagine, in greater detail than redundancy. Because somebody's decided that you're wrong, you're bad, you don't do what you should do in some way, shape or form. And they replace you. So it is different in the ways that different losses engage. But some of the feelings and emotions will be the same. So the way to kind of process it is to try and understand it, first of all. What is the type of loss that you're going through? Have a look and see where you are on that curve. And then deal with it in an awareness process. If somebody hasn't liked you, if somebody's bullied you, manager maybe, bullying you, somebody who has the power to kind of like get rid of you, then that process is because not necessarily you. It's not necessarily you that started that process. Could be, but it might not be. It might be the manager, or whoever is making that decision, actually feels that you can do their job better than they can. So if you can do, in their eyes, the job better than they can, then they may get rid of you because you're a threat to them. They may bully you to leave because you're a threat to them. You may be able to do the job better, easier, and more productive, probably. So you have to understand their motive, what it is behind that process of ending and that brought that ending about. And then we can see it differently. And if you've looked at the podcast on bullying that we did a few weeks ago, you'll see that in how we worked with that and how we understood that. When you're going through a change and loss, don't internalize it. Don't keep it to yourself. Because if you do that, you go into a spiral of negativity. You just reinforce it, whatever it might be. You need to reach out. You need to talk. You need to share. You need to understand. And get somebody you can trust, somebody you know won't talk to other people, friend, family member, counsellor, just like me, whoever it is, because externalising those feelings is productive. Internalising those feelings isn't. Because as I've said before, you might internalise them and get over them, but you might not have processed them. And the next time you come up with a loss and change might be something that takes you to that tipping point. If we process things as they happen, if we talk about things as they happen, or as much as we can as they happen time-wise, then that's healthy. If we keep it to ourselves, generally speaking, it isn't. So say an example would be somebody coming to me through a doctor's surgery, because they'd had a breakdown. And the tipping point breakdown was because somebody had, I don't know, taken something from them that was of no value, emotionally value, or financial value. And they just completely broke down. Then I wouldn't look at just that thing that they'd found as the tipping point. I would look at previous losses, change, and explore that, because there's something taking them to that edge, and that last drop, that last process, has found a tipping point, but there's lots of stuff behind it. So if you're working with friends, colleagues, people, you know, that you have a relationship with, if they, what they're talking about, what they're sharing with you, doesn't necessarily feel as though it has the same value as their emotional breakdown, then there's a possibility there's something else going on behind that, other ways of being, of change and loss, that haven't been processed. And that's the hard thing to understand sometimes when you're the person going through that, is I can normally cope with stuff like this, but this has just floored me. It's just taken me to the edge. Look back, look at where those other processes have happened in the past, and see if you've still got an emotional reaction to them. List them on a piece of paper. Don't try and do it in your head. These things are not easy to do in your head, because your head kind of like takes you down wormholes. So get a piece of paper, look at other things in your life where those things have occurred, those similar situations, scenarios, and see whether or not there's any emotional reaction when you're writing it down. See whether or not when you look at it, it feels still there, still upset about it. The tools I use to do that when I've done that timeline, if you want, where I've recognised times in your life where things have been similar and you've had a similar situation scenario working, then the way I work with that is I would ask that person, once they've listed all that down, is to kind of grade these situation scenarios that they've made reference to. And on a 1 to 10 situation kind of process, so 1 the least affected, 10 the most affected. And I would ask them that it has to be a graduating process going upwards. So if, for example, they found 2 situations that was 6 a score, then they would do 6-1, 6-2. Has to be graduated. Can't be the same. Then I'd ask them to work on the lowest number, and I would ask them, and this sounds really mad but it works, I'd ask them to write a letter to either the scenario that's happened, the feeling or emotion that you got with it, or the person, if there's a person involved, or all 3 if you want. Write a letter. Writing letters are a good way of externalising our emotions. But in the letter writing process, it has to be in a particular way. So what you do is you write the letter to whatever you're writing to, but you then write how you feel about what you're writing to, not what happened, because things don't tend to affect us. Emotions behind the things are the things that affect us. Do it at 1 sitting. So if you get disturbed, or you know, telephone rings, got to go out, whatever. That letter is finished. It's not a journal. It's not a diary. It's a letter. So when you've finished that letter, then completely and utterly destroy it without rereading it, without spell checking it or grammar checking it. What that does is it gives us a vehicle to order to externalise our emotions. Because externalising is good. It means nobody else can see it because we've destroyed it. So we're not sharing our feelings, emotions with anybody else. Doesn't matter what we've said, doesn't matter if it looks like it's English or the grammar's correct or the spelling's correct, nobody's going to see it, and we're not going to reread it or spell check it. We're just going to destroy it in any way, shape or form that's appropriate. And when you can do that and you work your way through that graduating process, starting with the lowest numbers to the highest numbers, and the reason I do it that way is because people get used to the process before they get into the really difficult emotions and feelings, and work your way through that list and find and get and sort and deal and externalise those emotions. If you can do that, less likely to find a tipping point. Less likely to get stuck because you're dealing with things as they happen. And you can write the letter writing process anytime you like with anything. It doesn't have to be something that's a major thing in your world, in your life. You know, if you have a bad day and somebody upsets you, write to them, get it out. You know, because that then externalizes those feelings and emotions. And if we externalize, we tend to be able to cope better than if we internalize. Internalizing anything really is not good, you know. So the process of loss and change is normal for everybody. And if you can process those feelings, if you can get them out, if you can deal with them, the less you're going to be upset, react to anything in the future. Hopefully that made sense. Hopefully that way of working was something that will help and will guide you, will give you ways of doing things. If you liked what you've seen, if you like what I'm talking about over the weeks that I've done this, then please share it, please like it, because you've no idea if anybody else is going through something similar. And if they're internalizing, they're usually keeping it to themselves. And that process might be something that helps them by linking into this, by just seeing this process, dealing with this topic. That might just help them to move forward. My name's Ian Wallace. I'm the Messed Up Counselor. Take care.